Friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Listen, if He isn't yours, He wants to be. He can be. He came to be. In fact, the Word of God says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What a privilege it is to know that. What a great message from the throne of heaven, friend, that God has given to us to let us know that if we're lost, we can be saved. If we're on our way to hell, friend, we can be changed and be put on that narrow path, that straight way, friend, that leads to life everlasting. How wonderful that it is. Well, I hope this finds you well. I do know that it finds you blessed. And I want to pray the prayer that John prayed for a man by the name of Gaius, that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospereth. I'm telling you, friend, listen, it's a good day here at the Price Place. Do you hear me? It's a good day, friend. I'll tell you what, the Lord has blessed, given me once again the opportunity to put on this microphone to say greetings in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, listen, God has blessed this old preacher, and I'll tell you how. 4 weeks ago today, at the making of this program, and it's April, what is it, April the 15th, I believe it is, 2023, I was given a new kidney. I received a kidney transplant, and the recovery has been good. God has blessed, and I'm still working on recovery, but oh, I'll tell you, friend, how good God has been to me. And I appreciate your prayers. I still need them, and I just thank God for this privilege to do this today. I've been out of sorts, out of circuit, out of ability, just all kinds of things. But here we are again. Here we are again, friend, rejoicing in the graces of Almighty God. Well, that's enough of that. Enough about me. I've got a song queued up that Debbie has done, goes along with this program and this message, and the title of it is, If It Were Not For His Grace, There Go I. Meet me in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 when she's done, and I'll give you the message.
If it were not for His grace, oh, there go I. And if it were not for His grace, I should have bled and died. If it were not for His grace, on the cross should have been me. And if it were not for His grace, I should have died on. Take a look around at this old sinful world. We are quickly to condemn those who cannot afford. But if you take a look at just what we see, if it were not for His grace, that could have been you and me. Grace.
don't you just thank God for a place called Calvary, for a man by the name of Jesus, for a God of grace and mercy. Oh, listen, we ought to rejoice in that. We ought to rejoice in God and who He is, what He's done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. Debbie, thank you for that song, a beautiful, beautiful song that just stirs our heart. If we listen to the words of it, if we sense the spirit of it, how great and gracious God is in blessing us, how He has and how He desires. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, read like this. I believe the writer was Paul. He said, "Wherefore, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him," listen to this now, "He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I want to talk to us today, just for a little while, about this thought, how to win the race. How to win the race. Hey, listen, folks, we're in a race, and I believe with all of my heart, I believe if we look, we can see the goal line. I believe we can see the finish point. I believe that we can see that we're almost done. This race, bless God, this race that we're in, it's not a dash. It's not a 100-yard dash, but it is a marathon. It is a lifetime race that when we kneel at an altar of prayer somewhere, when we humble our heart and bow our heads and say, "God, I'm a sinner and I pray that You'd save me for Christ's sake. In light of what He's done at Calvary, I put my trust in Him. I put my faith in Him and save me for His glory and honor." We start a race. Paul said this in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. He said that I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hey, listen, I believe that that race that we're in, it's similar to all of us, and yet it's different somehow to some degree. My course has some turns and tests, some valleys and mountains, some rivers to ford that yours doesn't, and yours has some that mine doesn't, but we're all headed to the same goal. We're all going to the same place, and we're all doing it for the glory of Almighty God. But I want us to look at this passage just a little bit. Here in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, Paul steps out of chapter 11. Now look, let me say this. I know when Paul wrote this, there was no chapter divisions. There were no verse notations. I mean, it was just simply a letter that the apostle Paul had written to his Hebrew family, his own people, his kinsmen in the flesh, encouraging them to go on, like he said in the sixth chapter of this book, unto perfection. Let us lay aside now, he says, the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, so that we might win the prize, so that we might finish the race, so that we might, friend, accomplish that goal that God has put in our heart. He wants us to know how to win the race, and by the grace of God, in order to do that. And if I get down to the message, we'll look at the person of Christ, we'll look at the passion of Christ, and we'll look at the position of Christ, how wonderful that is. In chapter 11, you know this, if you're a Bible reader, that Paul has given us, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, a list of great men and women out of the days of the past. Out of the Old Testament, they arise one after another. Men and women alike. Men just like me and you. Women just like you and I. Hey, they're made of flesh and blood and bone. They're regular men that had faith, that heard the Word of God, that believed to God behind the Word and said, yes, I'll walk for you. I'll go for you. I'll stand for you. I'll fight for you. I'll live for you. I'll die for you if I must. And you know what? He gives great examples. But oh, let me tell you something, friend. Although they stand, listen now what he said. Wherefore, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, they stand as witnesses to us, not witnesses of us. Those Old Testament saints aren't sitting in the stadium of heaven watching us in our journey down here on planet Earth. Oh, I could think of nothing that would be worse than that for those saints that have gone on. Oh, maybe they get an update about us, how we're doing, and how things are going on planet Earth. To those that have already outstripped us and gone, about those that are still here in the race. But I'll tell you, friend, listen, I believe with all of my heart that they stand as witnesses to us. Not of us, friend, but they witness to us and tell us that, listen, if you work, bless God because you've got faith. Hey, God will bless you if you walk right, if you worship right. Hey, listen, friend, I believe that they stand as a great cloud of witness to us. But listen, there's a greater witness than they are. And Paul says, now listen, because of this great cloud of witness, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Can I tell you, friend, there are things a lot of times that Christians carry around, pack around, fail to rid themselves up of. They're not bad things. Some of them are not even sinful things. But here's what they are. They aren't the best things. Oh, you know what? If we're going to win the race, if we're going to focus on the one thing that we need to focus on, and it's really one person, and we'll see that in just a few moments of time. We've got to lay aside everything else. We've got to lay aside those weights and those sins that thus easily beset us. We've got to work on our unbelief. We've got to get in the Word of God so our faith that comes by the Word of God will be what it ought to be, what it can be, what God designed it to be, and what you and I, as followers of Christ, believers of Christ, laborers in this work of Christ, need it to be. Oh, he said, look, he said we need to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so beset us and run with patience. Isn't that an awful word? But it's a great word. Oh, look, friend, we listen, this isn't a race of a day. It isn't a race of a week, a month, a year. It's a lifetime. I mean to tell you, friend, it is a lifetime, and we'll get there. Oh, I believe we're almost at the end. I believe that we're in the last days of the last days. And oh, I believe, friend, listen, the prize is waiting us. The goal is there for us. The finish line, if you look hard enough, can be seen. But we need to look beyond the finish line. Look beyond the goal that's there unto Jesus. That's what this Word is telling us. That's what this Word is teaching us. And he said this now, and here is really the heart of the message. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Listen to that. He despised the shame. And now, friend, he is sitting down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Sit down on the right hand of the throne of God. So let's look at a couple of things in this, if you don't mind. Let's look at a couple of things that the Word of God has set before us before I get into the person, the passion, and the position of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that there are some rules for this race. There are some rules to this race. I believe Paul tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, that we're to abstain from every appearance of evil. That's what the Word of God says. And oh, listen, friend, I believe if you want to win, I believe if you want to receive the prize, I believe if you want to have a crown to lay before our Savior's feet, as we see the 4 and the 20 elders doing in the book of the Revelation chapter 4, hey, we've got to adhere to these rules. Oh, look, we're not under law. I realize that, but we're certainly under love. And love is greater in power and might than law. The law of love is greater than the law of Moses. You know what else he said? He said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He goes on to tell us and says, come ye out from among them. Be a separated people, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. He even tells us in the book of Romans 12 that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And Peter, you think of old Peter, the audacity to tell us that we are to be holy because He is holy. Hey, friend, listen. We can do this. We can accomplish this. We can win the race as we look unto Jesus. Now listen, that's where we got to look. And have you ever noticed this? I'd missed this for all of these years. Oh, I know what the verse says. I've been able to quote it for many, many years now. But He says, looking unto Jesus. He didn't say looking unto Christ, but He said looking unto this man, looking unto this one who was God, but He became flesh, dwelt among us. Look unto the man, Jesus, who God give us as an example. Oh, we need to look at this man. We need to realize that if He did it, so can we. We can win this race. We can receive the prize. How we can run all the way home by the grace of God. I want you to notice what Paul was saying. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hey, listen, Paul says, I want you to look at the person of Jesus. Look at His supreme example. He is the great object of our faith. It's Him, friend. It's God's only begotten Son. It's Mary's virgin born. It's this one who came out of glory, entered into the stream of humanity through a virgin's womb, lived sinlessly among us for 33 and a half years, died substitutionally for us, and just a couple of days ago, we celebrated the fact that He who was dead is alive, and He's alive forevermore. We celebrated His resurrection. We noted that He died at Calvary. We noted that He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And we noted that on the third and appointed morning, according to the Scriptures, He rose again. Thank God. I'll tell you, friend, we need to look to Jesus. Get your eyes off of the things around you. Get your eyes off of the world. Get your eyes off of those who have not failed, made like unto you and unto me. And look unto Jesus and that one. And that one example. And that one, friend, listen, who deserves, bless God, our concentration on Him and consideration of Him. Isn't that what He said earlier here in the book of Hebrews, that we consider the apostle of our faith? How about look at His passion? Listen to what He goes on to say. Who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. My, what a mouthful. What a mouthful. Listen, Jesus was able to endure what He could not enjoy. He was able, a friend, to stand up under the pressures faithfully and listen willingly. That's what that tells us. He said, look, looking He said, who for the joy that was set before him? Ah, thank God. I'll tell you what. Jesus knew the cross was ahead. He even knew the cup that he was to drink. He even prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. This cup that was filled with my sins and your sin. This cup that was filled with suffering. This cup that was full of separation from his Father, God from God. Oh, he said, if there be any other way. He knew God's will. He wanted to obey God's will. So you know what the Word of God says? Who for the joy that was set before him on the other side of Calvary, on the other side of a borrowed tomb, and that he left empty. Oh, listen, he saw many sons have been brought to God. He saw, friend, listen, men and women being brought out of the miry clay and set upon a solid rock. He saw, friend, listen, a day when God would make his enemies his footstool. He saw a day, bless God, when it was a happy day, and when he would head back to the Father, and when he would receive once again the rejoicing and the praising of the angels. He looked at when he would receive his glory back, and when he would receive, bless God, all that came with him sitting on that throne. Oh, look. He despised the shame. Oh, isn't that something? Oh, I can't imagine how that being crucified, listen, felt. I can't plummet that. I just can't even get close to it. But he said, who, listen now, who endured who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured under it patiently. Hey, he knew what comes after that. He knew what he would have to face. And listen, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. Hey, can I give you something? I know that the Bible says that, or a lot of preachers preach that Jesus was naked on the cross. I don't believe that. I believe Rome gave the Jews actually an exception, allowed them to be crucified with a loin cross. You may disagree with me, and that's okay. I'll give you the opportunity to believe what you believe, but I'm going to believe what I believe. Hey, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. How about he did it for me and you? And look now, look at his position. Look at the position of Jesus. He is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Now look, let me give you a couple things, and I've got to go because my time's pretty well spent. I want you to know something, friend, what that connotes and denotes. Hey, he sat down. You know what that means? It's finished. He had something in his holy place that the high priest here on planet Earth never had. He had a place to sit down. Hey, listen, he sat down and he rested. Isn't that something? Not because he was tired, not because he was wore out. You know what that connotes? It connotes that his work was finished. Oh, thank God. Listen, when he got there to glory, when he entered in by his own blood, when he presented it before God the Father on the altar, hey, when God accepted it, tore the veil in twain from top to bottom, denoting that the way for sinful man had been once again opened and repaired by the work Jesus did, by the sacrifice that he offered, by the fact that he was both the propitiator and the propitiation. Hey, he sat down. Listen, friend, as a testimony of what he said at Calvary when he cried, "Tetelestai, it is finished." How wonderful that is. And you know what? He's resting. He's finished his work. He's satisfied because God the Father is satisfied. And you know what he's doing? He's just waiting. He's just waiting on you, sir, on you, ma'am, to come to him and say, hey, I'm a sinner. Would you save me? He's waiting on the Father to say, okay, son, it's time to go get your bride. It's time to bring him home. He's just waiting, is he not? Now look, he's working. He's making continual intercession for me and for you, but He's anticipating how that day, and when He can step out on the clouds of glory and say, "Hey, listen, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, come up hither." Oh, I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Hey, I believe I'll be a part of the rapture generation. And if I'm not, I'll die surprised. Do you hear me? Do you know Him, sir? Do you know Him, ma'am, as your Savior? Oh, look, come to Him today, would you? You got to look to Him, not man, not us to represent Him. We'll fail you. We'll mess up. We'll miss the mark. But He never fails. He never fails. Why don't you come to Him today? Why don't you surrender? Why don't you submit if you're lost? And say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Hey, thanks for tuning in. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.